loved it. And the things that I learned from him, learned so much from Michael about the game, about how people evaluate things, how you look at things offensively, defensively, talent perspective, you name it, anything about that. But then on top of it, life itself. I mean, Michael is not just, you know, strictly football 24/7. It's a huge part of his life, but he's interested in so many things. We talked it all, politics, what's going on in the world, different books that he's reading, some religion, you name it. This guy's well-read, well-rounded, and obviously one of the top people in the league.
And you guys had some fun. I mean, it wasn't all business, all football business. And Michael, as I'm hearing from you and other colleagues, was a pretty good cut up over there.
Oh, my goodness. The king of the one-liner and knew how to walk off. You know, the problem is you got to know when to hit them and leave the stage. Michael's timing was always exquisite. You know, me, I'll tell a joke, and if I get a laugh, I want to tell another one, and it's usually diminishing returns. Michael will hit you with the joke, but it's not a built-up joke. You know, it's not, he's not working the Shecky Green circuit or anything like that. It's always a one-liner, and off he goes. And he leaves everyone doubled over behind, and he's gone. And you're looking, where's that long boy? He's gone already. Knew how to leave the stage. He was terrific.
All about the timing. Yes. But while at NFL, working at the NFL Films office that he had and working for NFL Network, had the ability to, of course, watch a lot of tape, study a lot of football. Give me a sense of how he kept his head into the game.
Well, I think that he did the things that he did as a general manager, as a front office personnel executive. He brought that to what he was doing on television. It didn't alter it. It didn't change. He still saw all of those things, still watched the tape, still made his evaluations, and then brought that to the TV. As opposed to just saying, okay, I saw two plays. Okay, this is what this guy is. You know what I mean? He still did the homework. And now him going back as that executive, people think it's a change. It's really not. I mean, he's been doing that all along anyway. Will it be increased, ramped up? Of course, it has to be because of the numbers he's dealing with, and he doesn't have the other obligations that TV involves. But at the same time, he never lost that touch. He never lost being a GM. And now he just goes back and he has the official title.
Now, not the only change that the Browns made, of course, hiring a new head coach and Rob Chudzinski, putting the staff together with North Turner as offensive coordinator, Ray Horton as defensive coordinator. Give me your thoughts, first of all, of Coach Chud.
Love him. Absolutely love him. And what I loved about him was he had the Cam Newton experience. You know, he had to deal with that. And remember, the first year, no OTA, no offseason program. So he ended up playing to the strengths of Cam, putting things in with the offense that worked for him and ultimately for the entire offense. And we've seen that wave happen, haven't we? Mm-hmm. You know, around the league now, the quarterback run plays, the zone reads, and, of course, whatever type of reads he made downfield throwing the football, and they continued to refine that. And then the last half of this year, we saw all that come back, and then some. We saw that Cam Newton again the second half of this year. So I love Rob Chudzinski. I'm really happy he's getting that opportunity.
And North Turner, you know his body of work, 38 years in the league, 14 as a head coach. What a great guy to have as your right-hand guy if you're Rob Chudzinski.
Yeah, and think about the greatest success Norv has had has been as an offensive coordinator, as a builder of quarterbacks. So if you're Brandon Whedon, you ought to be really excited right now to have the opportunity to work in North Turner offense. He can pop on tape of some of the all-time greats and say, see, this is how we did it. This is how it works. And off he goes.
And Rob's talked often about how aggressive he wants the team to be, both on offense and defense. And I think on the defensive side, he stayed true to that by hiring Ray Horton from the Cardinals. All about aggressiveness, all about attacking, different blitz combinations, pretty much the Steelers type of defense incorporated with what he did successfully in Arizona. He brings that to Cleveland now.
He really does. And everybody thinks, well, 3-4 Steelers. He can also coach the 4-3. He can coach whatever. Ray Horton is a football coach. And many people will focus back to last year when they had that great game plan and shut down the Patriots and Tom Brady and crew. They need to check out everything else the rest of the year. Check out the numbers. That was a very good defensive football team. Didn't get much help on the offensive side. All right, and that's probably one of the reasons the Cardinals didn't have as much success as they wanted to. But defensively, hard to move the ball against them all year long. It took the 49ers a long time to break through in the last game of the season when they clinched the division title to make that move against them, and the offense didn't help. Ray Horton is a big-time defensive coordinator.
A year ago, and we were talking right around this very vicinity at the Senior Bowl, the Browns end up with 6 players drafted from this game. Do you see this Senior Bowl providing, you know, that kind of help possibly for a team that last year found a starting quarterback, a starting right tackle, defensive lineman, and Billy Winn? I mean, a lot of help from this game. Do you see this talent crop here being similar to that?
Always is. I mean, that's what the Senior Bowl is about. Some of the best in the nation. We don't have everyone here for various reasons. Some guys elected not to play. We've had some injuries, different things for different people. But overall, there's always talent that comes out of here. And if there's ever a better example people love, where people say, well, how many first rounds? How many? Who cares, right? Alfred Morris played here last year. Most people saw him as a sixth or a seventh round guy or a free agent. He was drafted, I believe, in the sixth round. How'd that work out? So what you were suggesting, Vic, is so true. It's the depth of all these things. It's not just how many first rounders will I get. It's how many guys you can get to help your team along the way, and they're all over the place.
Charles, thank you so much.
Thank you.